We are thankful to see each one here this evening. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and bless by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, that we could accomplish your will. You know the need better than we do. And Father, we pray that we could preach your word in the power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. And for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 11, verse 1, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now this reading, the first 18 verses of chapter 11, and I know we're all familiar with this account. And you know the history of the Jews. It was not lawful for them to go in unto a Gentile's house and then to eat with them like he did here. When he got back, he was accused. And when he came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, is how it's written in the Scripture, and telling him, you went to men that were uncircumcised, and you ate with them. And, you know, and I guess in this circumcision here, no doubt being Jews that were even a part of the church here, I don't know why other Jews would really deal with this, but yet this would be a saved people, no doubt, that we're talking about here, and yet they had a problem with it. You know, it's one of those things that I think about this for the Jews. They had grown up, this is the way you do things all your life. I had a man tell me one time, he said, sometimes the hardest things for us to get past is what we've always done in our life. What we've always done. And that's true. You know, I grew up certain way of life, certain way of doing things. And I've had to adjust. I tell people, you know, on my granny's side of the family, there was 10 grandchildren, every single one of us boys. I tell you, I got married and had to deal with living with a woman. And there was a lot of things that had to change. Because how I had looked at things and how I'd always done things was a lot different. And you just have to adjust sometimes. And yet here, you can imagine being a Jew. You don't eat with the Gentiles. You got nothing to do with them. We even mentioned before church about some of those scriptures that dealt with that. And dealt with them. Don't go into these people. Don't be friends with them. Certainly don't marry them and do different things. But now Peter's saying, listen, these people had the same gift of God as we had. What do I do? What do I do? And when they heard that, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, this is done of the Lord. This is not of us. And as you can say in the Scripture, what good is it to hold against God? And so when we deal with these things, there's a lot of times in life. I've often, you know, dealt with things, and going back to the Scripture is always the ultimate authority. Let me ask you this question. Were you ever taught something in church that wasn't scriptural? I was. There was things I heard over the years that wasn't scriptural. And you could both say that to the liberal side of things and to the conservative side of things, whichever way you want to look. I've heard things that weren't scriptural. And you go back to the Bible and you say, wait a minute, that's not what God said. That's not what God wants. The Word of God is the authority. And even the Word of God had taught, even in the Old Testament, about how one day He would be not only the God of the Jews, but He would reach out to the Gentiles and save them. There was Scripture concerning all that. But I've often wondered, how difficult was that to overcome? Now, we even know, y'all know the account from the book of Galatians and how there was a time when Paul had to correct Peter, didn't he? This is the same man used in chapter 11, and no doubt that date was later on because this is the early part of the Gentiles coming in, and this was after Paul had preached for a time. And you go there to the book of Galatians and, you know, they're sitting there and eating with Gentiles that were of the faith. And all of a sudden some Jews are approaching. What did Peter do? He did what he had been taught to do his whole life. He got up and he left them. And he did it to the point that, listen, even Barnabas went with him. And that's just such an amazing thing because Barnabas was such a strong man in the Spirit. But it was to the point that Paul had to confront him right there to the face. And had to let him know. He said, now why are you going to act like you're still under the law when you're not? Why are you going to go this route? And why are you going to try to compel these people to live in a way that's not the way of the New Testament, the way of the Lord? And he had to confront him on the matter. But you know, Peter took that. He learned from it. He grew from it. We know that. But at the same time, I look at Peter and I go, what would I have done in that position? I mean, a way of life you've lived in all your years. We don't have just the record of how old Peter was at that time. You can imagine he was at least in his 30s, maybe been in his 40s, I don't know. But can you imagine growing up your whole life and you didn't have anything to do with those filthy, rotten Gentiles? And now all of a sudden, you're sitting and eating with them. That's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to overcome. That's a lot to change. I can tell you, even with the gospel, there's a lot of things that has come with the gospel, a lot of things that is even different than some of the ways that I learned things or some of the ways that I did things. And again, that's not one way or the other. Some of it's, you know, things that I had done in the flesh as a human being and how I looked upon things as a flesh and the human being and then looking at things spiritual. Your conversation changes when you come to Christ. But it's amazing over the years at how much that I have struggled with submitting unto the things of the Word of God over wanting to do things the way that I've always done it. And that doesn't matter whether it's in marriage. It doesn't matter whether it's in raising children. I'll say this, and I've preached on this subject before. You know, basically the way that I saw things growing up is if a child did something wrong, you just took off your belt and hooked them. You know, or you got a switch after them. That's basically the way I knew it. If a child misbehaves, you just... But as I studied the Scripture more, I realized that spanking was something you reserved for when there was rebellion, when there was really a cause for something. There was sometimes that a parent had never taught a child not to do something, and then they did something wrong. The child didn't even know what they had done wrong, and they got spanking for it. Well, that didn't do any good for the child, did it? And it doesn't fit what Scripture does. God always teaches us before He rebukes and chastens us. Every time He teaches us. As His children, that's what He does. He instructs us, He teaches us, He points us in the right way, and even gives us space of time to repent. And so even the way that I would deal with things and looking at parenting, I'd say, wait a minute, did I teach my child? Wait a minute, did I instruct them in the right way? And I'd have to, I would kind of have to back off a little bit and say, now am I spanking them because I'm angry? Or am I spanking them because I'm upset? Or am I spanking for correction? And having the right attitude and having the right heart in the way that things are done. Even the Bible teaches us that we don't want God to chasten us in the fierceness of His anger. You know, we want Him to show some compassion and mercy, give us an opportunity to repent. That's the way we want God to do. And it's the same way that we see that He has done many times. Now, when people openly rebel against Him, His response is a lot different, isn't it? When they know to do right and yet they choose to do wrong, that's a different subject. And He deals with those things differently. You'll notice that even the way that He dealt with the 12 versus the way that He would deal with some of the lost people He came across, don't you? Find a woman caught in the act of adultery. He dealt with her a lot different than He dealt with Peter when He said, "Should we call fire down from heaven?" You know why He dealt with them different? One knew better. That's the reason. And in fact, the reason that He dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees so roughly versus some of the sinners He came across was because the Pharisees and scribes had the Word of God and they knew the Word of God. And they still were not abiding by the Word of God. And so He dealt with them a lot more harshly. Ye vipers and hypocrites. I mean, He deals with them a lot differently. Why? Because they knew better. They knew better. And sometimes in life, it is difficult to overcome what we've always known. I've even this past week, I was joking with Brother Brad about our trip overseas, and I said, we're probably going to have to adjust our stomachs a little bit while we're over there. Because what we're used to eating versus what they're used to eating is going to be different. And even the way that they do certain things and prepare certain things, probably even the way that they carry on some in service, no doubt. There's cultural differences there. And a lot of times it's hard to understand cultural differences. It's not the same as doctrinal differences. And there's some times that you have to be more patient with people. And I have been realistically going through and through in my own mind and saying, Lord, help me not to look at things just because it's the way I've always done it. Help me look at things based upon the Word of God. Help me to look at things based upon Scripture and what You're honored and pleased with versus my likes and dislikes. It is hard to overcome what we've always known. And you know, I think about that. Give an example. Y'all ever been to an orphanage? Been around children that are orphaned? Some of them have had a completely different experience in life than we've had. Some of them been abused, mistreated. When somebody tries to show them love, it's weird to them. Because what they've always known is abuse. What they've always known is being neglected. It is difficult for them to adjust to what they've always known to something that's different. And sometimes we see them having a hard time having a friend, having a relationship, opening up and talking, or feeling like their views and opinions are needed, valued, things of this nature. It's difficult for them to understand that people care about them. It's difficult to understand that people want to help them, because that's different than how they've dealt with things in life. Sometimes, and y'all probably, you can notice that kind of stuff with animals. You ever come across a dog and notice the dog was just beaten? You can tell it with an animal. Can you tell when you got around a dog that was just loved and always petted on and pampered? The differences between those two animals is vast. And the difference is what they have experienced. What they've experienced. And even when it comes to spiritual things, we know how difficult it was for Peter to accept the fact that he was going into a Gentile's house to share the gospel. That was different. That was hard for him in and of itself. And now when he comes back and people hears that he has gone into a Gentile's house and he's ate with them, he's like, look, this is exactly how things happen. This is what God showed me. God sent me there. And they had to see the truth. Peter wasn't trying to rebel. Peter wasn't trying to just do something wrong, was he? He was trying to follow God. But because of their previous experience, because of the way they were raised, because of the way they were brought up, they only saw it one way. And it wasn't until Peter went through the whole account that they said, well, God's opened up an invitation to the Gentiles. And we know in the church, it was very difficult for the Jews to receive the Gentiles. I mean, there was a time they were trying to force the Gentiles to be circumcised. Oh, you're not really saved if you're not circumcised. Well, you got to keep this law, and you got to keep this feast, and you got to do all these other things. And of course, Paul had to do a whole lot of teaching against all that, didn't he? It's amazing how all the things that we've experienced in life and gone through in life, if we're not careful, we miss what God wants us to be, is the point I'm trying to get across. It is hard to overcome the way we've always done things. And I can tell you as a minister to this day, it is hard to get people to go against mama or daddy, even if mama and daddy taught them something wrong scripturally. It's difficult. You try to preach to people about living for God and living their lives for God. Well, daddy said we do it this way. Well, mama said we do it this way. This is the way Papa did it. And you're going, but this is what God said. This is what God said. Sometimes, you know, there's people that have been taught, even in Landmark Missionary Baptist churches, to hold a grudge, haven't they? They've been taught that when somebody mistreats you, well, you just smite them right back. And we know that's not Scripture. But that's a lot of times the way people were raised, wasn't it? Well, they do you wrong, you get revenge. You hit them right back. You do it this way. I tell you, it is hard to unlearn what you've always known. Do you know that's one of the principles of Christianity? Is we've got to unlearn the way of the flesh and learn the ways of God. Y'all ever had a hard time doing that? This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I've always lived. This is the way that I've always dealt with this situation. And then you read the Scripture and you go, well, that's not the way God wanted it. Our goal is to submit to the things of God and not to the things of self. And I can tell you from personal experience, and I know y'all probably could say the same thing. We could all probably give some accounts this evening. But I tell you, there's a lot of things in life that I've had to look at over the years, and the way I behave as a husband. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, we learn a whole lot about how we love as husband and wife from our parents and what we've seen and what we experienced before. Well, this is the way my daddy did with mama. That doesn't mean it's the way God wants me to do. It's the way Papa did with Granny. That doesn't mean it's the way that God wants it to be done. There's times when you got to come to the Scripture, the original source, what's true, and say, Lord, how would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? And there's so much that we learn in our flesh. Well, this is how I dealt with a bully growing up. This is the way I dealt with an enemy. This is the way. And then you come to the Scriptures and God says, but I don't want you to do it that way. This is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to treat your enemy. This is how I want you to treat those who have offended you. And you start going through the things of Scripture. This is how I want you to love your wife. This is, for the wife, how I want you to love your husband. This is how I want you to raise your children. And you start going through the Scriptures. And it becomes very different, doesn't it? And it's not always that it's a big contradiction from something we might have known or might have grown up with. Sometimes we find out, ooh, I was taught right on that. That's right along with Scripture. But always, the authority goes back to the Word of God, doesn't it? Every single time. And as we go forth in life, we got to learn not to see things from a human perspective and rather see them from a godly perspective. And I'm so glad that when Peter went through and described what God had him to do, he made the statement, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? That'd be the same thing as saying, well, who was I? What was I that I could withstand God? That should be the final conclusion for all of us, shouldn't it? Who am I that I could disobey God? It's not about doing things my way or mama's way or daddy's way or whoever it is. It's about doing it God's way. And that's what we want to come to in life. I ask you to pray for me because I can tell you there's a lot of times when I look at situations and I see my mind looking at it instead of having the mind of Christ look at it. And there's a vast difference between the two. And it is so important that we yield ourselves and put on the mind of Christ instead of let the mind of our flesh rule us. And so I pray that we learn from this lesson. I pray that we do like Peter did and we do like even these Jews did, that we say, well, we can't resist God. If God brought this together, if God did this, then we got to give the credit to God and do what He wants in every aspect of our life. Oh, there's so many other things you could bring into that. I know. Whether things in marriage, well, this is the way I'm supposed to be as a wife. This is the way I'm supposed to be as a father. And a lot of times we get those ideas from so many things outside the Word of God. Sometimes I've even gone to counsel people and they've got all these books that they've read and they say, well, this is how we should do this. This is how we should raise our kids. This is what we're to be in marriage. And I'm going, y'all got the wrong book. You need to unlearn some of that. You need to let go of some of that and you need to get right back to here. Right back to the Word of God. It'll make a huge difference for us, won't it? And for even lost people, there's a lot of lost people that look at things from their perspective. Well, I'm as good as this person. I'm as good as that person. I'm not that bad. God will accept me. And they got all these thoughts. But they need to come to the Word of God, don't they? No, the truth is you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And God has paid for your salvation in full through Christ. If we could come back to that, it'd make a lot of difference for people. I pray this could be an encouragement and a blessing to us this evening. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. I'll have a verse of a song.